Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Geox Group First Half 2019 Results Conference Call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. The call is chaired by the Geox Chairman and Founder, Mr. Mario Moretti Polegato, the CEO, Mr. Matteo Moscazzini, and the CFO, Mr. Livio Libralesso. Mr. Moretti Polegato will make a brief introduction in Italian, and a translation will immediately follow. Please go ahead, sir.
Buon pomeriggio a tutti. Siamo qui oggi per commentare i risultati del primo semestre 2019. L'amministratore delegato e CFO vi forniranno a breve tutti i dettagli. Il primo semestre 2019 è stato impattato da uno scenario particolarmente complesso, con inusuali condizioni climatiche in tutti i principali mercati di riferimento e una forte pressione competitiva. La solidità finanziaria del gruppo ci ha comunque permesso di proseguire negli importanti investimenti pianificati, con la progressiva conversione dei nostri negozi monomarca al nuovo concept X-Store e con la presa in gestione diretta dopo il successo avuto in Europa del canale online in Nord America. Proprio il canale online, meno influenzato dalle condizioni meteorologiche, ha continuato a crescere in maniera rilevante, più 26%, a dimostrazione della validità delle scelte intraprese e dell'apprezzamento dei nostri prodotti da parte della clientela. A fronte di scenari difficili e di sfide importanti, siamo quindi ancora più determinati nel proseguire la linea guida strategica individuata nel piano 2019-2021. A tal proposito, vogliamo annunciare i recenti accordi siglati con WWF e Disneyland, che ci permetteranno di ampliare le nostre offerte per le prossime collezioni bambino. Questi accordi sono in perfetta sintonia con i valori e DNA del gruppo: sostenibilità, passione e well-being.
Good evening to everyone, and welcome to Geox Group First Half 2019 Results Conference Call. Our CEO and our CFO will comment all the details in a few minutes. The first half of 2019 presented particularly challenging conditions, characterized by extremely unusual weather in all the main markets and by a strong competitive pressure. The solid financial position of the group allowed us to continue with our relevant planned investment program, progressively converting monobrand stores to the new X-Store concept and insourcing, following the success in Europe, the online channel in North America. The direct online channel, marginally affected by weather conditions, continued to show a solid growth, +26%, confirming the validity of our choices and showing that the Geox products are well received by customers. When faced with continuing difficult market conditions and decidedly important challenges, the group is even more focused on pursuing with determination the strategic lines set by the 2019-2021 business plan. On this regard, I want to announce two new recent important license agreements with WWF and Disney, which will expand our children's collection in the forthcoming season. The license agreements are totally coherent with Geox values and Geox DNA: sustainability, passion, and well-being.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Matteo Moscazzini. Thank you for joining us, commenting the highlights of the results of the first semester for Geox. You should have a presentation, you should have just received a presentation. If you go to page two, we'll start with the key notes. Total sales for the first half of the year were 399.4 million euros, that's -3.5% compared to the same period last year. The most relevant explanations are the following. For wholesales, we record a -2.8% compared to last year. This is actually, of course, there's a minus in front of it, but we feel it's a result which is encouraging, because if you remember, the initial order collection, which we disclosed for spring/summer 2019, was down -9.1%. We managed, as we discussed in the previous presentations, to counter that. Of course, we built a more solid portfolio of orders, and we manage also to improve reordering and sales of overall stock. So in essence, we recouped almost 2/3 of that lack of sales. When we talk about DOS, it's a bit of a reverse story. So we are up compared to the same period last year, almost 1%, plus 0.8%, but it's due to the positive space effect. If you remember, we ended Q1 on a positive note also for like-for-like, and then as we warned back in the presentation for the first quarter, we suffered April and May due to bad weather, really unusual condition that hampered the beginning of the sales season. And even with a positive June, we did not manage to go back into black territory. So the like-for-like is minus 2.2%. Hence, the perimeter effect is like plus 3%. In all of this, as the president mentioned, the online channels still kept performing very beautifully, a plus 26%. The franchising area actually dealt us a bit of a disappointment. So you see a minus 21.9%. If you remember, first quarter was approximately minus 13%. We were assuming back then we had pretty much the same negative perimeter effect, minus 10% in Q1, but we were assuming that it was going to be absorbed more quickly through the year. As we closed the more than 30 stores in Q1 of 2019, in reality, as you'll see in details later on, we kept on rationalizing the basis of our franchises in Q1 and Q2 of 2019 as well. So the impact remained the same from a perimeter point of view. From a like-for-like point of view, slightly negative in low to mid single digits, hence slightly worse or comparable to the DOS. The delivery shift in terms of product to be delivered in Q2 that will be delivered instead in Q3 dealt another few percentage points to the negativity of that result. Speaking about gross margin, relatively good news there, plus 50 basis points compared to H1 of 2019. We were basically on track delivering the improvement in the initial margin due to the improvement in our industrial and logistic areas. However, of course, we had to be a little bit more promotional, reacting to the environment surrounding us in the US. Hence, we partially dilapidated that advantage. In terms of EBITDA, this is, of course, not inclusive of IFRS 16 impact. The EBITDA is 18.7 million compared to 25.2 in the first half of 2018. As far as the net financial position is concerned, again, before the application of the new IFRS 16, we are at minus 30.8 million euros, minus 19.7 at the same time of H1 2018. Just remember, this is the time of the year in which the absorption of cash is the highest. In terms, you'll see later in detail, the cash from operating activities, the management of the working capital, and hence the free cash flow is actually pretty positive, so we're quite happy about that. The president already mentioned our cooperation with the World Wildlife Fund and Disney, and this is something that we'll discuss a bit more in detail, and it's certainly very much in sync with our strategy. If we flip over to page 3 and we have a few more comments about the channel, in our sale, we continue our quality over quantity strategy, and this is something that is part of our strategic plan, is a bit of our mantra. It's done to preserve financial risk and preserve image and pricing positioning of the brand. Again, the trend basically improved compared to the initial orders collection, which, as we said, we will no longer disclose because we believe that the in-season management will basically trump and make this data not particularly relevant to us. In terms of franchising, again, as I said before, 48 net closures in H1 2019, more than what we expected, less conversion to the US. We're being extremely prudent in these decisions. As we were saying, it's not really part of our proactive strategy to recapture franchisees, so we do so only when it's truly promising and it's really servicing a sizable market, and we expect these stores to be profitable and successful in the long run. Otherwise, we simply don't proceed. Like for like, as we said, not so different from the US, maybe slightly worse, but still in mid-single digits. And of course, as I said before, maybe a few percentage points of impact in terms of deliveries that shifted to Q3. The US, as we said before, 176 million compared to 174. And then again, as we mentioned, basically only perimeter effect vis-a-vis like-for-like, which is negative. If you look at the split in terms of the channel impact on the total, you see that the DOS are increasing and basically regaining what the franchises are losing, with wholesale remaining stable, but truly the face of our distribution does not really change. On page four, again, a few more details about the trend. We were coming from a couple of quarters in which we performed solidly positively in terms of like-for-like for the US. So it is a disappointment to present an H1 which is negative due to the second quarter of the semester. And as we said before, in April and May, we truly had, we truly experienced pretty much like a lot of other retailers, particularly in continental Europe, a net impact of traffic strongly diminished. And this truly, we tried to counter it as much as possible. The success of the collection was actually quite strong for spring summer 2019. If you remember, we disclosed the initial number in which we were ahead, very much ahead of schedule at the beginning of the season. But then, of course, we were strongly impacted. And we were promotional again through that period to ensure a bit more traffic flow in our stores. But then again, but also managed to deliver a good June. But then when we went into sales, the sales season has been a bit soft for the same reason. Again, the US online, as we see, we managed to keep on the momentum of Q1 and Q2. We actually increased a bit past 26% versus the same period of last year. And good news, basically, in the one-year anniversary of a recapture of the e-commerce website in European countries, we did the same for our North American operation, US and Canada. We recaptured at the beginning of July, hence we will run directly by us for the remainder of the year. On page five, very quick couple of notes about the different regions. Italy basically pretty much online with a general trend. So wholesale, again, network optimization and quality over quantity impacted a bit, even though we had better reorders. In terms of the DOS, slight growth due only, unfortunately, to perimeter, and slight decrease in the like-for-like, almost 30% direct online increase. Europe, same story about wholesale. In terms of DOS, a bit better. A couple of markets overperformed. So overall, the like-for-like is pretty much flat. And hence, we could enjoy fuel in the increase in the perimeter with a positive number for DOS. And here, again, plus 35% direct online channel, again, very, very successful. In Norama, we kept on task of cleaning up the distribution. It's proving to be a bit more extensive in terms of an effort. Like-for-like, we're slightly negative. And here, too, we are basically aggressively pursuing a restructuring of our presence there, making sure we only present in appropriate locations. Again, another plus 36% in the online channel, and we really hope for a brilliant second half of the year now that we took over directly operations. In the rest of the world, a positive performance, basically flat, slightly positive, plus 0.7%. It's mostly due to Eastern Europe, but are very, very solid, both retail and wholesale performance, of which we are particularly happy. Instead, in APAC, the wholesale was slightly positive, but it was impacted mostly in the Chinese markets, in the Greater China market. Of course, the turmoil in Hong Kong impacted our fairly intensive US presence there. And as part of our strategy to improve our performances online, we replaced the TP, the mid-layer party that supports us in our presence on Tmall and JD. We went with Baozun, which is an affiliate of Alibaba, but meant a couple of months of basically slight timing to take over. I wouldn't call it a disruption, but clearly it meant a slightly delayed launch of the spring-summer collection online. If we go to the following page, page 6. This is a view by product, and it's a bit misleading because apparel seems to be decreasing more than footwear, but in reality the picture of apparel is quite bright in terms of the presence in store. So apparel as of the end of the semester is up in double digits, both ladies even stronger and also men. In our own US, with a great reaction of our clients to the collections, but also we're very happy to report a good collection of orders for the winter season. So while here we see the same incidence, the 9%, and above we see minus 5.8% versus minus 3.3% in footwear, in reality, from a strategic point of view, I think apparel is proving to be a good success. On page 7, we basically have a couple of projects which we put there to basically indicate that when we hit on all our key points in terms of strategy, on the left side you see the sustainable version of our iconic Nebula, which has the upper made with a fabric made by recycled PET, 2.5 or 1.5 liter bottles per upper, and a partially recycled outsole. And we're very happy to report it has been launched in the past few months and has been incredibly successful in our store, has been really the number one product. So what we wanted to say is when we truly deliver on the premises of Geox, which is innovation, sustainability, well-being, excellence, when we tick all the boxes, we truly have greatly successful products. The president mentioned before, World Wildlife Fund and Disney, the World Wildlife Fund, as you can see it here, will be a product which will satisfy both the expectation of the kids and the sustainability and environmental sensitivity of the parents. We'll use organic cotton, recycled materials. Will be in our stores before the end of the year, and the same will be true for our Disney-based cooperation, for which I cannot disclose more information at this point. They will be the subject of a specific press release. Now I will leave it to our CEO, Livio Libralesso, to comment over our network evolution and the financial statement component.
Thank you, Matteo. Please turn to page 8 to comment on retail network. The total number of stores is 987 after 28 net closure. In particular, total DOS are 448, 12 or 3% more than June last year. Franchise stores are 406, minus 48 or minus 10% compared with June last year. Store under distribution agreements are 133. The rollout plan versus the new concept X-Store is in place, and today the network has 180 locations under the new concept. Now let's turn to page 9 for the income statement. Please note that I'm going to comment the column excluding the impact of IFRS 16 in order to have a fair comparison with last year. Sales are close to 400 million, as widely commented by Matteo. H1 19 and also full year 19 should be considered as a transition characterized by a channel rationalization. And so the space effect is the main driver of the minus 3.5% in sales. In particular, I underline again the perimeter by channel effect that is minus 3% negative in wholesale, 10% negative in franchising, and 3% positive in DOS. Provided that we do not assume any material further rationalization, these effects should remain unchanged in relation to full year top line. So it's quite easy to run the math. The additional factors that might drive top line in H2 are in-season performances, I mean like-for-like for DOS and franchising, and reorders, promo, and closeout sales in wholesale. Gross margin is 50.9% on sales, delivering 50 basis points of improvement. In May, I said that the previous guidance regarding 100 basis points was becoming challenging, and H1 result more than confirmed that indication. As a matter of fact, the unseasonal weather condition in April and May forced the industry to be more promotional, and consequently the increase in the average discount has impacted the benefits arising from the confirmed additional supply chain efficiencies. In a while, Matteo is going to comment the outlook both on top line and gross margin. Selling and distribution, 22 million, are under strict control and delivered a slight decrease compared with last year following the top line. G&A was at 165 million and they show an increase of 4.7 million. This is due to three main reasons. First, the effect of the 3% increase in the number of DOS due to the net openings and conversion, mitigated by the savings deriving from a tight cost control on payroll and rents. Second, an increase in logistics in order to manage the level of service and the temporary new warehouse related to the excessive inventory experienced last year. Third, the group is also increasing marketing expenses in co-advertising with the brick and mortar key account and the performance and digital marketing relating to the web. These expenses amount to 5 million, 1.5 million more than last year, and have been actually included in G&A, being considered a commercial contribution and the web DOS monetary expenses. A&P is at 13 million, exactly in line with last year. EBITDA at 18.7 million, defining a margin of 4.7% on sales compared with 6.1% last year. EBIT was 1.6 million. Income taxes at euro 3.2 million, and it is important to underline that the group did not recognize approx 2.5 million of deferred tax assets. Finally, the net loss, mainly driven by the drop in the top line, is 3.9 million, that became 5 million euro after 1.1 million of negative effect induced by the adoption of IFRS 16. Please turn to summary balance sheet on page 10. Balance sheet is very solid and healthy. The invested capital is 367 million, financed by a very low level of debt, just 31 million, 8% of the invested capital. In this chart, you can see also the total effect of the IFRS 16 adoption, with 312 million of right of use recorded as an asset and a similar amount recognized as a financial debt. Let's go now to the following page to comment on working capital. Please turn to page 11. Operating working capital as a percentage of sales is equal to 29% compared with 29.8% in June 18. This positive change is mainly due to the good performance of receivables in line with sales trend in wholesale and franchising and the inventory, given that we are successfully managing to solve the issue regarding the excess of inventory deriving from last year. Moving on to page 12, there is the cash flow statement. Let me describe the highlights, commenting again the column excluding IFRS 16 impact. Funds from operation are at 17 million, in line with last year. The working capital absorbed 22 million, 10 million less than last year. Capital expenditures are 12 million in line with June 18 and mainly related to the OS refurbishment. In May 19, the company paid 6.5 million for dividends and in June started a share buyback program to serve a stock grant plan, investing at that date 0.7 million. At the end, including the fair value of derivatives for a total of 0.7 million, the net financial position is a debt of 31 million compared with 20 million as of June 18. Let me now hand over to the CEO for the outlook regarding 2019.
On page 13, a few words about the outlook for the remainder of the year. In terms of wholesale channel, as we said before, the strategy of quality over quantity in terms of preserving image, price positioning, and also the financial security of our operations will continue in the collection of the orders, impacting the collection of the orders of fall winter 2019. So we foresee at the end of the year a result which will be between low and mid-single digit for the entire year, so something not so dissimilar to what you observed in H1. Clearly, this will be subject in terms of upsides and downsides to our success in terms of restocking our clients and doing in-season management with reorders and the like, and finalizing the sales of previous season's inventory in which we've been successful so far. In terms of the optimization of the network of franchise stores, it will continue, expected to be less impacting the second half of the year. So we expect the perimeter effect to be slightly lower than what we observed so far. But then again, it will be up to the like-for-like performances of the franchise stores to deliver an improved performance toward the end of the year. In terms of the DOS, we expect the perimeter impact to continue. We will open a few new stores, mostly in China, in which new management has been active in pursuing new and a more upgraded location. We will convert a few franchise stores, and as we said before, we'll be extremely careful in ensuring those are strategic decisions. And we will not stop the review of our existing stores, and we might still close a few underperforming ones but do not fit the bill in terms of image and in terms of future performances. We will continue all the activities in terms of refurbishing the stores, impacting on the visuals, impacting on the merchandising choices, and also, of course, putting even more pressure on the retail excellence program, for which we expect improved performances in terms of KPIs in the stores in the second half of the year. Having said this, do we expect a better like-for-like for the next part of the year? We do, but of course all of this is subject to the performance in the specifics, retail dynamics in the markets, the traffic, the predisposition to purchase of our clients, and of course the promotional environment that will be surrounding us. This will be linked also in terms of the protection of improvements in gross margin. Between franchisees and DOS, probably the network will remain fairly stable. In terms of e-commerce, as we said before, many investments and recapture of a North American website, so we do expect performances to continue strong. Just one word of advice, we will be comping in Europe our own operations of a website in the second half of the year versus comping the previous third-party operator in H1. So we will still expect great performances, but we'll have to face more challenging comps. In terms of the IT and project investment, we said before how important our organizational and information technology projects will be in defining our future in terms of servicing wholesale and retail, both brick and mortar and online, in terms of CRM, inventory availability, merchandise planning, product planning. So all of these are well underway, and we expect them to produce results, albeit in a bit of a longer term. In terms of productivity, we remain very much focused on the continuing the improvements in terms of operating as a lean organization and containing costs, in which have been successful in H1, as highlighted before by our CEO. So what can we expect for the rest of the year? Of course, we presented in 2019 a three-year strategic plan, 19 to 2021, expecting 19 to be a transition year, as we discussed many times with you. Of course, we still expect 19 to be a transition year, and we'll do our best to try to implement the strategies we presented in the plan. We'll continue the rationalization process of our network, and this will have the perimeter impact highlighted before again by our CEO. Of course, we'll be operating in a frame of increased or decreased volatility in the markets, and this, of course, will define the starting point on which our operational progresses will be measured. We mentioned before the impact of promotional sales, so depending on our performances in terms of like-for-like in the US in the second half of the year, we'll have to face more or less promotional competition from our competitors, and depending on that, we will manage to salvage more or less of improvements that we're still experiencing and we expect to experience in terms of gross margin. So, to sum it up, as the president said in his speech at the beginning, certainly a challenging year, but however, only reassures us that our strategy is the right one and only pushes us to deliver them more accurately and in a speedier way. Thank you. I guess we are open now for a few questions.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Fabio Fazzari with Equita. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening. The first question is regarding the online. I was wondering if you can give us more details in terms of which category, which products are driving the good performance in the online, and which level of at which level of price did you sell on this channel, if there is also here contribution from the markdown. And in general, what we can learn from this strong performance in the online. This means that the difficulties that you are facing in the DOS are only related to the channel and the different habits of the customer, or and this means that your products are working, or maybe so it's not true, my point. I don't know. Maybe if you can help us to elaborate more on the DOS performance versus the other part of the business. The second point is related to a clarification of the guidance for the second half. To maintain the level of gross margin you achieve in the first half, which kind of scenario you have to face a positive like-for-like and probably less markdown than you made in the first half, or with a similar situation in the second half versus the first half, you will be able to achieve anyway this 50 bips of gross margin improvement. Thanks.
About the first question in terms of the differences in strategy and results between online and brick and mortar. In terms of sales online, I think the products that are performing are not dissimilar than the ones that we have in the brick and mortar. And then to your point, this is truly reassuring to us because the very strong performances that online kept even through the April and May super tough months reassured us that it wasn't really an issue of the collection as much as it was an issue about the purchase behavior and the retail propensity and the retail traffic we were experiencing in our key brick and mortars. Of course, the incidence of ready-to-wear is a bit lower in terms of the total overall weight because it's slightly, we started actually putting online ready-to-wear seriously only this year. The results are excellent. We are sold out in a lot of the styles we're presenting. It's still a bit less than the normal incidence we have in a brick and mortar. In terms of the promotional component, we are truly starting to run our omni-channel strategies in a very cohesive way. So we started, for example, to have a joint CRM effort using merging the databases of both online and offline. Hence, all the promotions that are run online are absolutely in line with the ones run in the brick and mortar, hence truly delivering a consistent approach to the clients. We've also started, and we are basically delivering now in 100% of the Italian stores the first omni-channel possibilities. So you will be able to order online, collect online, return in the stores what you bought online. And by the end of the year, in fall, we expect to have e-commerce in store, which we think is going to be very, very strong, particularly for smaller locations in which you basically will be able to avail yourself of a selection of online while you're visiting a store. So I think this is truly, as we said before, it's very reassuring that we kept on consistent success in the online. We are very much aligned with online and brick and mortar. And in terms of possibilities of omnichannel, as we said in the strategic plan, we truly very strongly believe in that. It will be very synergistic and not detrimental. Of course, as we said, we took over the US, so we expect to see similar results there as well, and we're starting to comping ourselves. So it will be, of course, an additional challenge for us. But the reading we have on the product, which is an immediate reading, is really extremely useful for us to know we are on the right track with the collection. And I'll leave it to Livio to answer the gross margin strategic component of your question.
Thank you, Matteo. So, provided that in 2019, Spring-Summer collection delivered an initial gross margin a little bit higher than fall-winter, it means that in case we will experience exactly the same scenario, the same mix, and the same pressure on markdown, probably there will be eventually an additional dilution, and consequently at year-end the gross margin expansion will be present, but just a slight gross margin expansion. In case we will be able to have a better like-for-like compared to the minus 2.2% in our DOS network as of June, for sure this will help in order to provide additional gross margin expansion.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
So thank you very much again for joining us for this call. We hope we clarified the performances of Geox in H1. Thank you again and have a good afternoon.